I, again, have really enjoyed this study that we got in this book. Paul, as I've said before, his masterpiece. I really do appreciate the way that he has really enlightened us in this book. And last week we finished kind of in verse 16 of chapter 8, where it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness of with our spirit, and that we are the children of God." So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into our discussion. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all those veterans, the day that we're celebrating today, the Veterans Day. I pray, Lord, that somehow you would put a blessing upon each and every person that has served. And Lord, help us as a country to be mindful of their service and their sacrifice. And Lord, as the saying would go, and I don't say it to be lighthearted, some gave some, but some gave it all. And Lord, I thank you for those that are willing to put their life at risk. And Lord, I pray for those that have gave the ultimate sacrifice. We're thankful for those. But we're thankful for all those that are out of the service and have served, and those that are continuing to serve now. Lord, I pray for our service tonight. Lord, I believe that the Word of God can be a great benefit to us, no doubt. But help me through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to say what you'd have for me to say that would help those that would be listening tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, in chapter 8, we finished last time with talking about how our spirit testifies or witnesses with the Holy Spirit. And we said that was the confirming of the Holy Spirit. That really is something that can help boost your confidence. If you are a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit that you're seeking leadership from or guidance from, you can have your own conscience remind you that you're wrong before God or that you're being led in the correct direction. Now, we have followed this through, and I'm not going to review completely, but we followed through, especially from chapter 6 and 7. I keep reminding us that in chapter 6, Paul talked and taught about yielding to the Holy Spirit and yielding to, if you will, life. Because our flesh, and he said in chapter 7, Paul said, "In his flesh dwelleth no good thing." And that's true for you, and that's true for Rick as well. And we come in tonight to this subject, or this account here in the scriptures. He's talking about our inheritance. He's talking about the earth, and he's talking about us as well. You know, we live on a sinned or a cursed earth. God cursed the earth in way back in the Old Testament when Adam and Eve fell. He cursed the earth. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. But look at verse 17. "And if children," now that feeds right off of verse 16, "then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. So not going to break down every verse, but I got to get started here. It says heirs. Most of you know what an heir is. An heir is someone that will receive an inheritance. I think it's best here in my definition, one who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. Now, one of the commentaries, Adams and Gray, which is a very old book, I don't know when it was written, it's fallen apart, but it had a saying right at the heading of this. It said, "No inheritance without sonship, no sonship without spiritual birth, and no spiritual birth without Jesus Christ. No Jesus Christ without faith." Think about that. You got to get saved. And I've repeated this over and over, and it's Bible, it's the truth. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." not baptism, not church membership, not doing good, not hoping so, not thinking so, not maybe in the end will I get okay. It's if you know Jesus Christ, if you're Savior, if there was a point in time in your life that you stopped seeing yourself as a sinner and seeing Jesus Christ as the only Savior, because Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. So if you're a child of God, you are saved and you have this heir. You're an heir. He says, if you're a child of God, then you're heirs. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that word joint heirs basically just means that there's others. In today's time, and I don't mean this to be, but sometimes people will fall out over whether they get grandma's dish or whatever, you know, and in sometime when there's inheritance or grandpa's pocket knife or something. We're not going to have that problem in heaven. But that word joint heirs means there's others in the deal. In other words, I'm not the only one that's going to inherit this inheritance of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. What are we going to inherit? What are we going to receive from God? What are some of the things that we'll get? You think about that. Think about what you might get from God. He says, you're heirs of God, you're joint heirs with Christ. But, as always, we got to think about this sin-cursed world. Now look in verse 19, 20, 21, 22, and look where it says creature. In verse 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. In verse 20, for the creature was made subject. In verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. And we know that the whole creation groaneth. Now that word creation and creature are basically the same Greek word, which talks about all this world. Now I brought to your mind the curse that God brought against the earth. And that's very true. He did. And here Paul says, you're heirs of this, but it's not over. So I guess if there was a title for my message tonight, it would be redemption, but not yet. We're redeemed. We're saved if we're in Christ, if we're a child of God. I don't want to muddy the water on that. But our eternal inheritance is that redemption. When we get our glorified body, there's no more aches, no more pain, no more IRS, no more taxes, no more of that stuff. That's yet to come. Redemption is not yet. So Paul is always looking how he can share with us. Now look back in chapter 4 of Romans, 4 verse 13 and 14. He says, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Again, no inheritance without sonship, no sonship without spiritual birth, no spiritual birth without Jesus Christ, no Jesus Christ without faith. It all begins with faith, the righteousness of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It says in verse 14 of Romans 4, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Back over in our text, chapter 8, he says in verse 17, if so, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. There is a day coming. There is a time coming when we will see that great by and by. You know, you hear songs like when we cross that river Jordan and when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. We hear those songs, and that's true. And some of them have, just like when we cross the river Jordan, that I understand people think that or say that is when I go to heaven, but scripturally it's probably not true, because the children of Israel, they will cross the Jordan to get into the promised land, which is a picture of us living the victorious Christian life. When we yield to that righteousness, to when we yield to the fruitful work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So that sonship, that we already have that. We've already established that we're saved. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 9, it says, "We know not that the unrighteous, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit." Now this is the reason why I read these two verses. What are we going to inherit? The kingdom of God. Now we're joint heirs, and we're not going up there to take over. We're not going up there and say it's all mine. We're joint heirs. There's other people involved in that, and we must remember that. But we are going to inherit this. We are going to be heirs. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. Now in Hebrews, I know I'm running you a lot right now, but I hopefully will settle down here in a minute when I get some things shared with you about this one thing here, about what are we going to inherit? What's my heir going to be worth? It says in verse 15, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they are called, which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." That's the way I would like to rather look at it, the eternal inheritance. What do we get when we get to heaven? What do we get when we get there? Well, we realize that everything here is going to suffer until we get to heaven, right? We realize that, is the way I see it, that there's a second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to rapture the church. And again, some may disagree with this, and that's okay. But the church is going to be raptured, going to be taken out. We don't see it after chapter 3 in Revelation. And there's going to be a time of tribulation, and then Jesus is going to come. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. The saved are going to be judged, and then we're going to see the great white throne judgment. So what comes after that? Look in Revelation chapter 21. Again, I'm running you around, but hopefully we'll settle down here in a minute, and I'll be able to share a few things with you that I think are important about this. And these are glorious verses. I mean, this is high water stuff. I mean, stick with me. It says in Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." That's the day that we're looking for. Now, remember, we're talking about the creature, the creation, and we're going to see where it's moaning and it's groaning, it's travailing. But he says, "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and there be their God, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit, get this, all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That is a glorious blessing to know that there's going to be one day upon this earth, there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and I get to inherit that. I'm not sole proprietor. I'm not owner of it, but I'm going to receive that because I'm an heir, and you're going to receive it because you're a joint heir with me. We're going to receive the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven." So We have all that down there, but back into our text, and I'm going to, I think, take you one more place in just a moment, but I want to go back and set the stage for the rest of this message tonight in verse number 17. I've already mentioned it. He said, if so, we should suffer with him. That's setting the stage for the next 4, 5, 6 verses, and we won't look at those quite as in depth as we had the first two for sure, but he says that we may be also glorified together. That day of glorification is coming. And why is that true? Because we see there in verse 18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. It says the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Follow on down to verse 22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Why is it travailing? Why is it in pain? Why is it having trouble? Well, I can tell you why it's having trouble. Because we are cursed. The world was cursed again in Genesis chapter 5. And I want to just read to you one verse. If you want to go there, you can. Chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 29. You know, some verses that we may read and just browse over have a lot of meaning. But look at what it says here. Now, this, again, we're talking about the creature and the creation. And we're in that, we're on this earth, so we're part of that. Verse 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. You get that? Which the Lord hath cursed. Now back over to our text. And I think, like I say, we can kind of stick around for a little while. How many of y'all older people remember the first time you got a little gray hair? How many of y'all remember maybe that first time when you had that, you know, that real soft and smooth skin? You looked and you seen that first little sag in your eye, the little wrinkle somewhere. How many of y'all remember maybe when you didn't have as much hair maybe as you did have? Maybe you think about some of those things that you used to be able to do and wouldn't be as pain-filled. Maybe, you know, if I were to go out and try to play a little bit of basketball, like a full court deal, you know, tomorrow would be a tough day getting out of bed because I'd be sore. I'd have aches and pains. This whole world, folks, that we live in has those same types of aches and pains. The Bible tells us this. Now, I'm not making this up. It says the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's that talking about? Now, we've established we're a child of God. We're children of God. It's waiting for us to be revealed in that glorified situation that we just talked about. It's waiting for us to, if you will, make it to heaven. Now, he says that it waiteth for the manifestation. In verse 20, it says, for the creature hath made subject to vanity, you know, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, God's got this earth under control. And it doesn't matter what man does to it. God's going to keep it until the day that he sends his son back and he's going to draw everything to a close. It doesn't matter what you do. Now, I believe that you shouldn't throw trash out. I don't believe that you should do things that don't make sense. But at the same token, it really doesn't matter. Now, don't go out there and be, careless in what you do just because I said that. But I'm here to tell you, God can take care of this planet. And he's already been taking care of it because he made it out of his own hands. I think it's in Job or maybe in Isaiah where it says that he set it out there and he hang it upon nothing. God can do that. That's God's power. That's God's ability because God can do anything that's possible, okay? So we don't have to worry about that. But at the same token, here we go down in that verse 20, for the creature which was made subject to vanity, playing with the grandkids today, shaping Play-Doh. You know, this world has suffered a lot. And in America, maybe not as much as maybe we could think about in Europe, but Europe has went through World War I and World War II. I see pictures of the devastation of the especially in the bombings and stuff of World War II, where these towns were just decimated, all these people that were killed. But you see a picture of those cities today, or some of those cities that built back, and they look magnificent. How? Well, they've been shaped, they've been pulled apart, they've been reshaped, and they've been built back. They have, they have been subject to vanity. Vanity is nothing. It says, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. What's that? Well, as I told you, God has this world in his hands. He's taking care of it. And he's going to keep it together until the time comes when he's going to burn it with fire, as Peter says, in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, ladies, you know what it's like to be expecting a child. And in the early days, I think there's morning sickness, and sometimes there's different difficulties. I don't know much about that. I've seen that through my wife and through other ladies that have went through that. So I can't speak to that, but I can remember as the time drew near for that birth, that the pain and the waiting for it just got greater and greater. I believe we live on a planet that's having those pains, what it says in verse 22, it groaneth and travaileth in pain together. And that word travaileth is the same as like a childbirth. He says in verse 21, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, there's two types of people. There's lost people and there's saved people. But in the end, what's going to be left around God? Now, there's people are going to burn and they're going to suffer for an eternity in hell. I get that. But around God, there's just going to be one type of person, that's saved people. And he says, the liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What does this have to do with us? We're on this earth. We're on this planet earth. We're seeing the pains of mankind. You know, I think in the annals of time, there's only been like 250 years or maybe just 200 years where there hasn't been a war. And that's the best that we can kind of keep track of. It's pretty sad when you think of the 6,000 years or so that time has been recorded for man, 200 years out of 6,000. Now, this manifestation, this disclosure of what's happening that it talks about up there in verse 19, and then he says that in verse 21, the deliverance, and then in verse 22, the pain together until now. And he says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, and the redemption of the body. Do you sometimes toil over the wickedness of men? Do you see the as it says in Genesis, that their imaginations, it was just grow worse and worse. It grew of evil continually. I see that today. And, you know, I read and hear about different Christians that are persecuted and the things that are done to them. And it seems like they are more creative in the ways that they punish Christians. And not just Christians, but the evil things that man does to mankind themselves through all the different things. And I won't get into that, but I think that's what he's talking about. This whole world needs Jesus, but it's going to groan. It's going to travail because all the world's not going to receive Jesus. If you're out there today and you're lost, you need to receive Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. You need to be born again so that you can have that hope, you can have that inheritance, you can be an heir to the kingdom of God. He says on down there, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, and the redemption of our body. See, there is a redemption coming, but not yet. There is a redemption that is talked about in the Bible, but not yet. See, we talked about all the things that it says about yielding to righteousness and things, and we say, you know what, it's hard to live the Christian life. It may be, but the option or the alternate course is death. If we want to live a fruitless, joyless Christian life, just don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't seek God's will, don't do anything according to His will. Think your own way and be just like those that were in Judges. In Judges it says, in those days there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We cannot do everything that is right in our own eyes and still be godly and still be yielding to the righteousness of God and what it is, and hope that this pain is going to get any better. See, we are salt of the earth. We are to lead souls to redemption. We have the job of reconciling those to Christ, as the Bible says. Paul states the obvious here. This sin-cursed world is filled with the birth pains of a coming judgment. And I wanted to get to that point. I didn't mention judgment, but that's what those birth pains are. See, the wrath of God continues to build. It continues to grow. It grows against the United States. The things that the United States does, that like abortion, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that that is it's a sin. God says, thou shalt not murder. God says in the Old Testament where they put those babies in the fire, that it's a sin. I believe that America will pay for that. These pains just continue to raise and continue to grow. In verse 24, he says, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, hope in the Bible is a little bit different than our hope here on this earth. Hope in the Bible is what we can see in the scriptures in the Bible. And we see that what's true, and we see what's going to happen. See, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You are listening tonight. You can be assured that you're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account as to whether you have the advocate, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You're going to be accountable to Him, because if you don't have that advocate, you're going to stand in your own righteousness, your own works, and those will be cast into the lake of fire, because every man's work will be judged according to his works. And our works, as Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. We need to be about growing the kingdom of God. We need to be about, as it says up here, allowing the word of God, as it says there in verse 16, to bear witness with our witness. We need to be worried about how this world is doing. Now, we're the light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. We're also the salt of the world. The salt doesn't keep meat from ruining, but it does extend its livelihood. And I think that's why Jesus used that as an analogy or a metaphor, if you will, as the Christian life. We can't save this world, but we can extend it. We can give a preservative to it. We can lead more people to Christ. We can grow stronger in our faith and live a more godly life and allow people to see the hope that is within us. That's what he's saying there in verse 30, 24 and 25. So I pray today that you will be looking forward to your inheritance, but don't forget this whole world is in pain and in travail because there's this coming judgment. And we can be salt and light to that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that you would, through your spirit and through your word, use this message to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank everybody for watching out there on Facebook. Please share and like. We would appreciate that. We'll get the message out. We'll be back with you Sunday morning a little bit after 11, and then Sunday night a little after 6, and again next Wednesday about the same time. Thank you. This is Brother Rick. Have a good night. All right, guys.